Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and
All right, 106 on The Fan, hour four of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the midday, 877-337-6666 is the phone number here till 2 o'clock. Maggie and Bart, come your way. Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. And joining us right now, our good buddy. I don't know if he loves me anymore, but nevertheless, he does a great job covering the Jets for the Post. He picked them to lose, I think, 40-13 tonight, which is probably about right. And that's Brian Costello. Brian, how are you?
All right, I still love you, Joe.
I'm happy you do.
Is the love down a little bit, or is it still like the same
amount
of love?
Nothing personal.
No, all the love.
There's nothing personal here at all.
Never, never, never. Joe's passion is why people listen, and same with you, Evan.
Oh, by the way, I got to mention, buddy, because you have a litany of sponsors. Brian Costello is sponsored by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services. By CSEA Local 830, we work for you. By Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, Suffolk County's number one volume dealer, and by Digital Ally, a proud partner of the best football stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, MetLife Stadium. Capture truth. Again, here is Brian Costello.
So, Le'Veon Bell, let's start with him. Last week, he has the flu. The Jets say, don't show up. He does the bowling thing. I think you guys had that story exclusively, so good job out of you. This week, without Bilal Powell, are we going to see a heavy freaking dose of Le'Veon Bell in this game?
Here's my question with Le'Veon. You know, when he talked to us Tuesday, he said he'd lost 8 to 9 pounds with the flu. He wouldn't say how much he had gained back. He hasn't practiced since last Wednesday, so I just don't know where his wind is at after that. So that would be my question in terms of workload. I look at what they have going in this game. I think logically he would get the ball a lot because even Ty Montgomery is banged up. He's going to play, but he was limited in practice this week or whatever they did walk.
Yeah, what's the matter with him? He didn't tell us that the other day.
He has a hip. I think it is. He was listed as, and wow. I don't know. We don't know much about it because it was really limited this week. They didn't practice. They just did walkthrough, so they kind of estimated what this guy would be able to do in practice, and we didn't get to watch practice at all. And also, we had one locker room session, so I didn't even see Ty this week to ask him about it. But he is on the injury report as questionable. I think he's going to play, but I don't know how healthy he is. Demaryius Thomas, I don't think, is going to play. Bilal Powell is not going to play. So logically, you would think you'd see a lot of Le'Veon Bell in this game. My only question is just, how is his conditioning right now after dealing with the flu?
Is this what's his name? Josh Adams? Is he activated for this game?
Yeah, he'd be. Yeah, he's on the roster. Yeah, he'll be ready to play. I would think too. He could probably get some carries, but looking at it, you'd expect Le'Veon to be the one carrying the load.
Yeah, you would think so.
So, I don't know if you agree with this. You may not agree with this. When the Jets were without Sam Darnold, and they were obviously they had a very difficult time winning games. When you look at who they were starting at quarterback, the impression I got is Adam Gase was coaching to not get blown out. That was basically the sense I got. Everybody thinks the Ravens are going to kill the Jets. The Ravens look like the best team in football. I understand that they're 16-point favorites for a reason. Yeah. What is going to annoy me, what's going to annoy Joe, what's going to annoy a lot of Jet fans is if we get that kind of same feeling from Gase where you're coaching to not get blown out instead of coaching to shock the world and win.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be tricky. There's a fine line there because I do think if you're Adam Gase and you're looking at Lamar Jackson, right, the game plan in this game is the Super Bowl 25 Giants game plan to me. It's keep the ball out of Lamar Jackson's hands, which is running the ball, ball control. It's not throwing 80 yards down the field. So you might view that as he's coaching not to get blown out, where it might be a situation where they're just trying to keep the ball out of the Ravens' offense's hands. But, I get it. I think he should be aggressive when he can be, take some shots when he can be, but I also do think it's wise to limit the number of possessions that Lamar Jackson has, because the Jets defense did a phenomenal job on Sunday of keeping the Dolphins out of the end zone. And, you know, you might say, ah, it's the Dolphins, but they had been scoring some points before that. Mm-hmm. And they are down, you know, no Jamal Adams, now no Quinnen Williams tonight, no Brian Poole, no Arthur Mollett. Even the guy Kyron Brown, who started Sunday, is now on IR. So the defense is really banged up against the best offense in football. So I think logically you'd say go with the Belichick versus the Bills game plan and try to keep the ball out of their hands.
Yeah, and they got to score points in this game too. And I would do what they've done really all the time. I mean, last week was the first time they didn't score on their first drive of the game. And I would take the ball if they would win the toss and try to score and try to get ahead in this game. I mean, I would.
Yeah.
That's the way I'd have to play this game.
I agree with you. Yeah, I don't think you want to give the Ravens the ball to start the game. I think you take the ball and hope that you can drive down the field and get some momentum going. You know, because you looking at this game, and I wrote it, it's like it's hard to come up with a way the Jets win this game.
Right,
almost
impossible.
Maybe the Ravens don't show up. Maybe they overlook this game. Now, if it was Sunday at 1 o'clock, I think that's a lot better chance of happening.
Absolutely.
This place is going to be insane tonight.
I couldn't agree with you more. That short week, forget about it.
Yeah, but maybe they could take a little life out of the building if they drive down the field and score a touchdown. I agree with you, Joe.
Yeah.
And I think we're looking for competence from the quarterback. I mean, they had the game that really scared me this year. I forget who was asking me. Somebody was asking me off air. I think it was McMonagle. He said, was there ever a moment this year where you started to think, oh, my God, Sam's not the guy?
The Patriots.
And it was
right.
The ghost game.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I was afraid that was going to define him. And he's done a decent job, you know, overcoming that. I didn't think his last game was great. I'm not saying he's perfect.
Yeah.
So I think seeing him perform well against this kind of defense, which doesn't get enough credit for how good they are, in a primetime environment, I think this would be big for Sam.
I agree with you, and the Ravens blitz like crazy. Their coordinator's Don Wink Martindale, one of my favorite names in football, and he blitzes, I think on third down he blitzes 67% of the time, something like that, and that killed the Jets against the Patriots. So this is their first primetime game since then. I think, you know, I understand you saying you don't want them to coach not to get blown out. For me, looking at this, it's like if they can avoid getting blown out, that's a big positive because I don't see how it happens. But I agree with you, Sam. It's huge to see what Sam does tonight against a really good defense and if he cannot look like he did on that Monday night game against New England.
Is Jamal playing tonight? He's definitely out, right?
I think he's definitely out. They were saying game time decision. I think that was just, you know, to appease him or something. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any way he's playing.
Yeah, I'm looking at the injury report, which is so insanely long.
Right.
I mean, the
injury
report's like half the roster.
Griffin's out, right?
Griffin's out, Poole's out, but then Adams, Mollett, Demaryius Thomas, and Quinnen Williams are doubtful, which usually means out.
Right.
Always. There hasn't been one doubtful player that's played this year.
No, there you go.
Are we going to see Jamal again this year?
That's a good question. He seems to be, like, he doesn't have the boot on anymore, and he seems to be, you know, when I see him walking around, he seems to be okay. So I think there's a chance you'll see him again. I think he's fighting hard to get back out there. So I do think there's a possibility. It doesn't look like, you know, it's a really serious high ankle sprain because usually those guys have boots on for a while. So I think you could see him again.
Now, one thing, and this was a good thing last week with the Jet game, but it bothers me too because it just goes back to the officiating in the league. And that's the fact that, if I'm not mistaken, the Jets did not have an offensive penalty in the game against Miami. Am I correct about that?
Is that right? I didn't think they did.
I think they had five penalties, and I could tell you every one that they were. Okay, there was
the
two.
They had a lot on defense.
Yeah,
well,
they all were. There were two terrible calls on James Burgess. Two terrible calls on him. It was the face mask penalty on the the great
Quinnen
Williams.
Mm-hmm.
The guy finally makes a play. Can he get his hands off the damn face mask? Blaise Austin, a pass interference, which I thought was bogus as well.
And a terrible
roughing the passer on Nathan Shepard.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so
that's it.
Yeah,
those were the penalties.
I didn't even realize that. Yeah, that's a good job by you.
But my point is, the week before, they get how many bad penalties? I mean, Beecham, Lewis.
Yeah.
And it probably cost them the game when you think about it because it wiped out two major plays in the game. So that makes me nuts with the affair. I mean, how is it possible?
Yeah. And you know what? You know what these teams do to guys? They get the official, and they have, like, a complete breakdown. They know how this official is going to call the game.
Right,
it's like
they have
a scouting report on all these officials. And so, like, if teams have that, how can the league look at this and say, okay, this one crew is calling holding all the time,
right,
and this other crew isn't, and they're calling pass interference all the time? Like, there's no uniformity. And I think there was a report yesterday that they're going to do a top-down examination of officiating after the season. it's really an issue for the league. I thought the referees got it right on the pass interference call at the end of the game, but I was shocked that they turned it over.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe they did that.
They hadn't been turning things over earlier in the year, and now all of a sudden they're turning stuff over. It's just really inconsistent.
Well, what's crazy is that, and more so than any other sport, there's inconsistencies in other sport, but let's just say they didn't overturn that, and it's 4th and 17. I think we'd all agree the Jets probably lose the game. They probably lose that game. That affects Adam Gase. Who knows? Maybe that kind of performance actually speaks to Christopher Johnson, where he says, "Oh my God, we got swept by the Dolphins, lost at home," and he loses his job. So officiating makes such a difference that you're talking about jobs being affected by a bad call or not.
You saw Brian Flores the way he reacted. I can't blame him.
Like
you're saying, that's a loss on his record now. Yeah. And if they hadn't turned that over, I think you're right. I think he would have had another win.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'll tell you, I didn't think Sam played great. He had a good first half. See, he missed a lot of open receivers in the second half. And he took it, let's be honest, he took a terrible sack on that last drive of the game. Yep. And that was the only sack he had the whole game. You can't take a sack there. I was, my God.
No, I thought it was one of his worst games.
He wasn't great.
It kind of got hidden because they won the game the way they did. But, yeah, he took the sack. I think there was two other passes that easily could have been interceptions that weren't.
Yep.
He threw – the one interception he threw was pretty bad. He held on the ball too long. And then, you're right, he missed a lot of receivers. The biggest one to me was Robbie in the end zone.
Right, on the drive that made it 19-18. That should have been a touchdown.
Robbie was open. You know, you got to hit him there.
Yep.
Now, you know, he had some drops again go against him. Demaryius dropped a couple of balls, but I agree with you. I didn't think Sam. I don't think Sam has played particularly well the last 2 weeks, Cincinnati or Miami. So, trying to get a bounce back game against the Ravens is not going to be easy, though. But like we talked about earlier, you just need to see some positive steps from him tonight.
I think he was much better in the Cincinnati game than the Miami game.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you.
He wasn't
flashy in that game, but he didn't turn the ball over either.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, and I would re-sign Robbie Anderson. I mean, he dropped that pass in Cincinnati, which might have changed the whole game. If he caught that ball on that opening drive, now the ball was underthrown, but he still should have had it. But with that said, he's been tremendous the last couple of weeks. I mean, he's running past. I mean, he's a different receiver than he was, last year. He's a different guy.
Yeah, he's making a case for himself. Like, the thing that jumps out to me is he's making contested catches.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I never saw that from Robbie. Robbie was always good when he was open, running down the field, he catch the ball. But now, like, he's going across the middle, and they're hitting him, and he's catching the ball.
Yep.
It's like, who is this guy? So he's making a case. The question with him is how high do you go? How much do you want to pay him? How many years do you want to go? Do you trust him? He's had some off-the-field stuff. Do you trust him that once he gets paid,
I'll say he's not a guy that has disrupted the team, though. You know what I mean?
No. It's all been off-season stuff. Yeah. He's had some dumb penalty. Like, threw his helmet in Miami a few years ago, stuff like
and
that.
And he did it in the Raider game, too, but they were up 34-3 when he did
it didn't matter,
you know?
Yeah. But overall, you're right. He hasn't really disrupted the team. And even the catch in Cincinnati, I kind of was asking around about that. And I guess he was supposed to go to the back pylon, and the wind was really gusting in Cincinnati that day. And he said the wind kind of just took the ball and knocked it to the ground, and that's why it looked like it did, where he didn't come up with the ball in the end zone.
I think we all believe Le'Veon Bell is done as a Jet.
Gone.
This is it for him. Would you agree that, everything that's happened, Gase didn't want the contract to begin with, the bowling thing maybe to a smaller degree, but there's no way he's a Jet next year, right?
I just don't know how they trade him. I just don't know who's going to want him and how, they're going to have to pay basically his salary next year. He's got $13 million guaranteed. Do they eat $8 million, which is the base salary, and the other team picks up $5 million? What's their price? Are they willing to just give him away, for a fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick, something like that? There wasn't a big market for him last year as a free agent, and he's coming off of a year where he's not going to have good statistics. You can make your judgments about why that is. So I'm just wondering how many buyers are going to be out there for him.
Do you, and I totally understand if you don't know the answer to this because it's the most complicated thing in sports, and that's the NFL salary cap. What are the ramifications of them trading him? Like, what? What would the Jets have to pay of it? What would the new team have to pay of it? It's like, what does it cost you if you're a team that's?
I'd have to look that up. I mean, I can look that up pretty easily, but the site overthecap.com has that information. But I do think they could probably do that, it wouldn't be like insane in year two, like it would be in year one. But the Giants traded Odell Beckham after that contract.
Right.
So, they'll be, it's not great for the salary cap, but I don't think it would be prohibitive. And also the Jets, they're going to have like $80 million in cap space next year anyway. So I think they could do that if they wanted to. It's more a matter of how much money do they actually want to pay him not to play for their team.
I still want him on the team.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I don't think they get better.
I think he's going to be motivated these last 3 weeks. I mean, I expect them to have a big game tonight, and I know he's going to be pumped up for the Steeler game.
Yes. And it's funny, like, you guys know this. Like, sometimes in the middle of the season, it feels like, oh, my God, there's no way this guy can come back or something. Then you get after the season, and feelings might, you know, feelings might heal and stuff. And if the Jets go out like I expect them to do and completely remake this offensive line, maybe they look at it and say, okay, you know, now we've got some offensive linemen to block for him. He's going to have a better year. Let's go with this year, and they can easily move on after next year with hardly any salary.
You know the best chance of Le'Veon Bell coming back is if all of a sudden Christopher Johnson woke up and fired the head coach. That's the best way that happens.
Right.
I don't know what Joe Douglas's take is on Le'Veon Bell, to be honest with you. I don't know that. So, you know, but I don't think Christopher Johnson is going to flip-flop on his Adam Gase proclamation that he's going to be back next
year. Even if they run the table and finish 5-11.
Yeah, even if they finish 5-11, I just don't see it.
Well, like I said before, the only positive I will say about that, you know my feeling on Gase, is that since Parcells, every head coach we've had in his first year as a Jet coach has had a winning season, and that's not going to be the case with Adam Gase. So maybe that actually works itself in reverse here. I can only pray that that's the case.
No. You know what the problem is? When Todd Bowles missed the playoffs, all right, a few weeks after, you said the same thing. Well, they missed the playoffs. Rex made the playoffs. Mangini missed the playoffs. Maybe this is a good sign.
And I didn't want Bowles.
No, I know.
No, you were right. You were the earliest one off the Bowles bandwagon.
Oh, my God.
Well, the Gase bandwagon, we were off.
Yeah, it was pretty.
I don't think there was a Gase bandwagon.
See, at least with Bowles. See, the difference with Bowles is we didn't know what Bowles was. He was a first-time head coach. So if Gase was in his first year ever as a head coach, I'm looking at him differently than I am now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hear you.
You know, the Gase bandwagon or the anti-Gase bandwagon started the day Todd Bowles was fired. Joe was off. We had him on the phone.
Oh, my God.
I was driving in. I heard you.
And it wasn't even a rumor at that point. I said, what about Gase? And you're like, well, who's reporting that? I said, nobody. It's just I'm scared of it. And that's how it started.
Yeah, right. That was, oh, my God.
Because I knew this owner could be that dumb.
I was driving to Florida Park that day, and I heard you.
We know it. You know, I love Bilal Powell. He's been a very good Jet. He's a guy that's survived, like, three regimes. But this is so typical of this guy. He has a big game. He plays great last week, and he's hurt. I mean, that's always been
that's
a story on this guy.
Yeah. That's the problem. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. And, you know, you talk about that. You know, the game in Buffalo.
Yeah, he didn't play. He was hurt.
He didn't play. And that was a huge factor in that game.
No doubt.
You know, because if you remember Ivory, they didn't play Ivory. Yep. And it was kind of – he had one long run, but he wasn't playing much because he had a hamstring. And they were playing Stephen Ridley at tailback. And I remember seeing Bilal after that game, and I'm like, they really missed him in this game.
They did.
Like, Fitz and Revis were the headlines and Bowles after that game, but it was like Bilal was a big, big factor in that game. But you're right. He just, you know, he just can't stay healthy.
Never.
So you think they get blown out tonight, right?
Well, you said 40-13.
40-13? Yeah, I do.
That's a score.
Did they win again this year, in your mind?
I think they have a chance against the Steelers. I don't know why.
Because they're home. They played well at home. They're 4-3 at home. So they've actually played fairly decently at home.
Yeah, and I'm not.
Even though there'll be 50,000 terrible towels there, but that might help.
There will
be. Look how ticked off they were with the Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders. Yeah. I think I give them a chance there. It's hard for me to see them winning in Buffalo, but, you know, I'm not completely sold that Hodges is the guy in Pittsburgh, and I know they've done a great job there and won with the backup quarterbacks, but I question whether they can keep that going.
I agree with you. I think their best chance at a win is Pittsburgh, more so than Buffalo.
No doubt.
I agree with you.
Although I would love to see Buffalo, and it's possible Buffalo might need that game to make the playoffs.
They
got Pittsburgh this week, then they play the Patriots.
And New England.
Right.
Yeah.
So they could very well. Boy, how much would I like to stick it to them?
That'd be great.
And knock them out.
Yeah.
They won't, though. I know they won't.
No, I don't think so.
Will Gase score points if they do that, Joe?
No. No.
No.
No, Gase scores no points.
Yes, he would. No, I disagree.
You think
know,
so? You think I'm sold that he's the coach?
No, I didn't say
sold. Points.
Points. Yeah, you'd feel slightly better about him.
I guess
that doesn't
mean
you'll ever like him.
Well, he would score points. If they won this game tonight, he'd score points. I mean, I'll say that. If they ever won the game tonight, I'd say, well, you know, what's this? Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Are you any shot they're in the game with 10 minutes to go?
Hard for me to see it. just like, you know, they just, I think if they were fully healthy, this would be a hard game for them, and they're not even close to fully healthy. So
I'm putting some shekels on the money line tonight.
You see what
Why not?
Money line is?
Plus 850, man.
850, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big number.
Gotta do it. Gotta do it.
Well, good luck to you.
Yeah. Well, basically setting money
on
fire.
How's the weather in Baltimore? You're in I'm assuming you're in now.
I just got here. It's cold, but it's sunny. You know, it's not, there's no precipitation or anything. It's just cold.
Yeah.
But we're actually on our way south, too,
We will be watching the game in a hotel
room. Oh, Army-Navy.
Yes, right, we'll be watching the game in a hotel room in Philadelphia tonight. It should be an interesting night with me, Ernie, and Evan.
Yep.
How happy are you about Porcello?
We're happy.
I love it.
We're happy.
I'm very happy. I like that movie.
Yeah. We're happier about Steve Cohen. But
yeah, well, happiest about Steve Cohen.
But can Steve throw some of that money to Jets' way? I mean,
Jets and Knicks.
I heard
they're all three, Joe.
Well, yeah.
Money's not the problem with the Knicks or the Jets. It's incompetent ownership that's a problem.
Yeah, I heard Cohen actually looked into buying the Jets at one time.
Did he really?
I read that somewhere. I don't know. Mm. Who knows?
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. Well,
Brian, enjoy it tonight. Thank you very much. This interview ended a lot better than the last one.
Yep. And who knows? And let me tell you this: there is a possibility. Can I throw this out there, Ev?
I don't even know what you're throwing out there.
Well, I think you will. You understand that this might be the last time we talk to Brian Costello at this hour.
Oh yeah,
this is possible.
That's possible.
Oh,
let me just say, right.
Who knows?
Only the shadow knows, Brian.
That's the problem.
Are you guys off after this week?
Off.
Well, I'm taking.
Yeah, we're off for right.
I'm off for a week. I think you're off for a couple
days. No, you're working next week.
No, the week after.
Next week, truth be told, we're doing the afternoon drive show next week. Now, don't read too much. Don't read anything into that. But they, you know, nobody else was available, the way I understand it. There was nobody else, like absolutely nobody, was available next week to do the afternoon drive. So Evan and I, because we are just such wonderful human beings, have said that we will do the afternoon drive next week.
And you're being a nice guy about it, because when was the last time you did afternoon drive? You never wanted to do it. It's been a long time, man.
Excellent point.
Do you think when we do the show Monday, we should have the Mike's On theme song?
No, we're
going to
play our song.
Oh, okay.
We're playing the Joe and Evans, and the Mike's On theme song is not
It's
happening.
Gone.
That will not. Let me be emphatic about that. Will not happen.
You can confirm it will not happen. So don't play that, all right?
Jeez. I've never understood why they played that when the hosts aren't on.
Because it was still Mike's show.
It's still Mike's show. They actually played the Joe and Evan song.
We used to sing that, too.
Right.
I don't know if you were aware. We would sing it as well.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember you singing it. I loved your singing it. But is it because of advertising they have to play it then?
I don't think
there was any reason. I think it was just it's that
I think
show.
Mike said, you know what, okay, it's my show. Okay, I don't know who's doing it. Okay, I don't care. Okay, I don't care, okay? I don't care.
We should really shake things up and not play the Mike's On song, but next week play the Mike and the Mad Dog song.
Oh,
turn it on and try it.
Oh, my
Mike
God.
In the mat. That'd be cool. I don't think we're doing that either, by the way.
The pain.
Anyhow, Brian.
Anyway, only the shadow knows, Brian. And
All right.
And right now, I don't even think he knows.
Has no idea.
I'll ask Marshan what's going on.
Yeah, Marshan probably knows that. He'll know before anybody else.
See you later, Brian.
All right, Brian.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
See you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.